struggling is a good thing, because then you kind of motivate and you empower yourself to reach levels you didn't reach before.
Ja, meine Lieben, heute mit Nick Briel vom The Jane Antwerp. So kennen wir es zumindest. Wie es weitergeht damit, mit ihm und diesem legendären Restaurant, das werden wir unter anderem auch heute herausfinden. Nick, welcome.
How are you?
Fine.
Good seeing you.
How are you?
I'm doing great. Pretty hectic these last 2 days. To be honest, we did quite a bit.
Yeah.
Yesterday we had a lunch for 14 people at the Visit Flanders booth. Did a little DJ set at the end.
Yeah, a little DJ set.
Freaks at the table after party, which is a concept I was not aware of, but it's actually really cool.
It's nice, huh?
Yeah. Party was nice.
Party was nice.
Went off, yeah. So that was good. And then today, a couple of interviews and this super good podcast. I think it's the second or third podcast that I'm doing. So I'm not like
really?
A superstar in podcasts, yeah.
I thought you made already 50 podcasts or something like that.
No, no.
Is it not a thing in Belgium?
I think it is. But I've kind of avoided media like the last 2 years a bit, like more off the grid, a little bit more to the background, I think. And especially the last year when I decided to close the original restaurant, started to really focus on relaunching and reopening. And I want to showcase a completely new Jane experience. So I also...
We will talk about this in 1 minute. First, we start with our little word wrap.
Okay.
It's like two things and you have to choose one. Where do you prefer to go? To the church or to the restaurant?
Restaurant.
You know the joke, because Jane was in the restaurant.
I know. Yes, that's why I left. I was done with the churches. I'm not going to go to any church anymore in my whole life.
The sea or the Alps?
Ooh, difficult one. I'm a big fan of ice baths. Mm-hmm. So I like the ocean a lot.
Mm-hmm.
But recently I've been hiking in the mountain area. And I started snowboarding 3 years ago. So
okay, a new fascination for...
Winter coming up, I would say the Alps. Yep.
Where?
Well, I mean, if I need to choose a destination, I would prefer like Aspen or Colorado, because I've never been there.
Ah, okay.
I was in Japan in March.
I thought like France or Germany, which
like
is quite
the
near.
Alps. Like for snowboarding, I think I prefer the French Alps. Yeah.
Okay.
But I'm not the biggest connoisseur, to be honest. I'm just like an amateur. So.
Ice cream or sorbet?
Ice cream for sure.
Beer or wine?
Wine, definitely.
Winter or summer?
Fuck. Autumn. Sorry.
An ananas on a pizza, yes or no?
Or you mean a pineapple? You don't know that joke? Yes. You cannot say ananas. Pineapple.
So I learned something.
No pineapple on a pizza for sure. Although it's pretty good.
I can't remember. What did Massimo Bottura said on this?
For sure. Definite no.
I think... No. I think he said it depends.
Okay.
Yeah?
You cannot say ananas.
Nobody said it to me. I'm looking like a jerk now.
Sorry.
No, it's true.
Thank you. Nobody mentioned it.
No.
They screw you over.
Yeah, they screw me completely over. Going to sleep early... Or getting up late?
Going to sleep early, specifically because recently, you know, I've been paying a lot of attention to my health. And sleep is the number one health topic when it goes to, okay, food is important, sports is important, lifestyle is important. But sleep can recover a lot. And that's the point I am the weakest at. Like I'm sleeping between 4 and 5 hours a night. So that's my main priority to improve. Yeah. So going to bed early, I would choose.
Perfect. So now start with the deep talk.
Let's go.
The Jane is closing. This was quite a shocking news in the world of gastronomy. Why?
Because I was done with churches. That was it.
It was actually a nice answer to that.
Yeah, well, referring to your first question, of course. No, it goes a bit larger than this. I think that the world itself is evolving a lot, which is always the case. And I think that a restaurant in the early days was always a place that a person or a chef would build for a lifetime. And I think that how the modern society works and evolves, you need to be able to analyze and to reflect and to also kind of, we call it finger on the pulse, you know, like feel the temperature. Is this place still relevant? Does it still work? And does it make any sense? And I felt that, you know, I was able to still continue for maybe 2-3 years with a decent amount of motivation. But it was not sustainable. It wasn't an heavy energy user. It was badly isolated. It was massive to heat. You know, like there were so many square meters unused.
Yes.
And it was amazing. But nowadays, when the whole world is looking into getting the globe a bit better, I think also that, you know, like heating up a chapel,
which was very, you know, high as
on
well,
a daily basis, with no solar energy, with, you know, like a lot of electricity being used in the kitchen performance. I knew that this place was not sustainable anymore. Coming to the fact that I was cooking for 170 covers a day on a 2 Michelin star level, which is a lot. I also noticed that my ingredients were...
It's quite unusual also.
It is, yeah.
Even in the German-speaking country.
And I mean, we had to do this because of the scale of the restaurant. So, I mean, we had to serve huge amount of numbers to make it actually alive and to make that, you know, like that place
to make it profitable as well, no?
True, but also I think that to create the right energy that I wanted to build, we needed to have people there. Mm-hmm. And, you know, when you see, when you start working with great ingredients and great producers and try to go as local as possible, and you feel that the numbers that you do and the amount that you use is not making sense anymore for farmers, for fishery, etc., then sometimes you need to rechange, you know, like relook things. And I felt that on a lot of different points, it was not sustainable anymore.
It's interesting because it seems also as if the parameters shifted a little bit, also in the industry itself. When you opened it, these parameters and the sustainability was of course already a thing, but it was not that important, maybe.
Exactly, yeah.
And apparently you felt the need to have this a little bit more fulfilled.
Well, I mean, if you're a restaurateur and you don't on a daily basis run it yourself, you think more from an economical point of view.
Mm-hmm.
But being the owner, but also being there on a daily basis, extremely involved, you also need to be realistic. And I think that if you want to be able to progress as a professional, you need to allow yourself also the platform that you are able to progress. And I felt that I was kind of stuck, you know, I've reached the maximum ceiling I could reach in that place. And it was kind of stuck, you know, we had to do the numbers.
Mm-hmm.
I had to serve a menu in that kind of a style to be able to have the economical part of it also correct. And
yeah. I read that the rent was very high in a...
24K, yeah.
24K, yeah. It was written, which is... Yes, very.
But that was just for one place. I had like three other locations that we also on plus rented. So the fixed budget.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, my energy cost was at the end was like 13K just purely on energy. I mean, 13,000 euros of energy usage is not just very expensive, but it's also just ridiculous. You know, all those numbers, they really add up. But it was not the economical decision. You know, we were healthy as a restaurant. The business was okay.
Mm-hmm.
But I felt that I've reached a point in my career, I was just kind of stabilizing, kind of, you know, I figured out in the last 3 years who I really am as a chef, what I want to bring and what I want to showcase. But I have a huge amount of evolution still to go. So if you feel that you're kind of stuck in your growth within a certain restaurant, that's a super important thing to notice. And if you want to allow yourself to grow as a professional, you need to create a path that allows you to progress.
Yeah. Was it more hard and disturbing to decide to close it, or was it more a relief?
It was a relief, yeah.
Really?
Yeah, it was a relief. And to be honest, there is not a single day that I had a regret until today. And we've decided this over a year ago. And until the day of the day, I still feel we made a super correct decision. And to be honest, I also don't see it as a negative thing because I just feel that we're closing down a chapter and we're unlocking a new chapter. So it's just a phase where we are. That's also why the name is traveling with us, and we're keeping the name. And And I'm using the fundament and the identity that we've built it. And everything I felt which was not correct anymore or not stable anymore, we changed and we took out. So the good elements we've kept and mm-hmm. they're still in our evolution and growth.
Mm-hmm.
But all the bad parts, we cut it off. Like mm-hmm. I trimmed it, like I would say in the kitchen. You know, we've trimmed mm-hmm. off the bad parts. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Let's talk afterwards about what it's going to be possibly. This new Tejane chapter, you said it also somewhere, it's like something new is coming, but as you said, it's like a flow, it's not a cut, but it's...
Yeah, but it's an evolution.
It's an evolution, yeah. But before, I wanted to ask, because you said it twice since we're talking, in the last 2 years, you didn't make a lot of media appearances. You wanted to slow down apparently a little bit. Now you say you still have to figure out what kind of chef you are, where you're heading. Is it, what was it that raised so many questions in the actually very self-confident chef Nick Breel, which you also have been known for? You made bold things in the Jane. I mean, the Jane was quite a bold concept, we have to say. Apparently there are some things which started popping up.
A collection of multiple things.
Mm-hmm.
The satisfaction as a professional to be satisfied with the work you put down. I think I was starting to feel that I was working and cooking in a kind of a repetitive way.
Mm-hmm.
And that's something that I'm, you know, not a big fan of, repetition. And also, like, if you listen closely to your heart, you know, I kind of avoided the fact that I was thinking out of a money-drivenness. I was thinking out of a passionate focus. Mm. And I felt that if I wanted to keep my motivation and my drive or kind of refresh it again, I had to really take a different route. And to be honest, like, the media thing is another topic, because it's not really that I'm not confident anymore. It's not that I'm not thinking in boldness anymore. You know, it's just that I'm redefining.
Mm.
And redefining means also that you trigger yourself and you challenge yourself again to kind of showcase new sides from yourself. And I think that's the most exciting part as a person, not just as a professional, but also as a human being.
It can be very enriching, right?
Yeah.
It can be hard, but the result can be enriching.
I think hard is a good thing. I think that, you know, struggling is a good thing, because then you kind of motivate and you empower yourself to reach levels you didn't reach before, which I see as a very positive thing. So I like it tough.
Yes, I mean, you were also proving yourself at Otz Lewis at Sergio Herrmann, which was a tough school as well.
A tough place,
right?
Yeah.
Tough place. But which paid as well for doing your own thing then.
I mean, it's a very difficult industry. F&B and hospitality is a very challenging and difficult industry. It's a huge amount of work you have to put down. It's a small income you generate. You have to be fulfilling with working hours and hours a day with not always the same, you know, like revenue.
Of course.
Let's say return on investment, time investment.
Mm-hmm.
So it needs to be your lifestyle and you need to kind of embrace that too. And it took me quite a while to fall in love with the profession as a chef again, because I felt that being a chef was not 100% appreciated. And maybe also that my environment, especially when I was starting as a chef, they kind of encouraged me to do a different path, to take a different path, because the time investment is just a huge amount of time you have to invest to become good in what you do.
Mm-hmm. It was also the pre-COVID time. It was a different time also when you started in this culture at Otz Lewis and stuff. It was different times, right?
Correct.
But did it really change? Also, like in Flanders, for example, and in
I mean,
where you guys are.
Did the world ever stop evolving? I mean, did the world ever stop changing? I think it's a constant change. And I think you just need to be sharp on how it evolves. And you need to be adaptable. And you need to be flexible. And you need to be open. We would say you need to take your head out of your ass, you know, like you need to, you cannot be stubborn in sticking to this is what I do and this is my philosophy and this is my concept, and just go with a certain flow and listen to your audience, listen to your clientele and try to read them, you know, read their experiences and just be okay with adjusting and evolving. And like I said, you know, like I did not regret it for one single day that I decided to close an epic location or an epic restaurant.
Yeah.
Because I think I'm going to relaunch an equally epic spot, at least.
So, that's a good point.
Yeah.
Do you already have ideas? I mean, in which direction is it going?
We're opening this Saturday.
This new...
I mean, that's in 4 days. So.
This new the Jane.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. I've been working on the realization of it for a year.
Mm-hmm.
And let's say the new style of restaurant that I'm building was actually the idea already to implement that in the original location. So I've tried to completely rechange the original, the Jane, to change the whole conceptual installation, design, etc.
So you wanted to have the new Jane in the same building. That was
the evolution that I wanted to take. I actually tried to integrate that in the original Jane. Really change the... I mean, don't want to say concept, you know. Concept is a shitty word.
But
To kind of change the culinary and the artistic DNA of the restaurant with my new vision.
Okay.
And that was just problematic because I'm going to cook for 28 seats. Instead of 170. So financially, with 28 covers, I was not able to run that place. And the moment we realized financially we would not make it, I decided to close it down and to build a new restaurant that matches and fits the new identity. Yeah. So the vision was before the decision. Let's say the will to change and the also the feeling that I wanted to evolve again and to grow again was before the decision. So that was really the motivation why I decided, yeah.
Where will the new location be? So is there...
Antwerp still. It's going to be in the north part. Antwerp is known for its harbor, right? Like it's a harbor city.
Yeah.
So I'm actually facing the industrial harbor. So where the living part of Antwerp is stopping. And when the industrial harbor is starting, we call it the droogdokken. So it's like a dock site. This is where the new restaurant is launching. Yeah, and it's very exciting because it's the complete opposite of the city. We're in the industrial harbor, so you know there is a lot of heritage, there is a lot of history, but there is also a lot of young, up and coming motivation and energy. So we're like in this hub again that you feel that, which is really exciting, really tense. You know, like it's moving, it's searching, it's pushing boundaries again. So it's a bit of an edgy part of the city, what I love.
Yeah.
Because the original Jane, it was the location, you know, like which was a very calm area of the city.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, an epic church or a chapel. But now it's going to be more industrial. It's going to be more urban. You really have a city vibe. Yeah. So.
And from the atmosphere, because something which was really a part of the DNA from the Jane was, you know, music, loud.
Yep.
It was, of course, there was a holistic experience, right?
Yeah.
In the, is this something you maintain there
definitely,
as well? Yes.
Yeah. But revived. Let's say I'm not showcasing any repetitive elements. So our pillars are gastronomy, of course, design, art, fashion, music. And these elements are again reintegrated, but on a new way. So the music will always be a part of my restaurant because that's part of who I am. You know, like yesterday night I was DJing again.
Yes.
At this epic after party. I live music, you know, like music for me is one of those elements that can really entertain people.
Mm-hmm.
Flavors, smell, you know, like visual elements, but also audio. So music will be part. DJ booth is going to be in my kitchen. So
really, so the DJ thing you maintain?
Let's say when I feel that I don't want to talk with my guests anymore. I can
turn up the music,
play a bit of music, you know, put my headphones on.
Yeah.
No, but the fact that it needs to be a very dynamic restaurant, so the kitchen is going to be in the middle of the restaurant room.
Okay.
In the dining room, it's going to be a completely open kitchen. I will have 28 different seats, 11 tables spread out through the room around that kitchen. And for me, there is two really important elements. The restaurant needs to be balanced. So let's say from team members to supply chain to the whole trajectory towards the restaurant. And then from the restaurant and our, let's say, organization towards the guest, the whole chain needs to be balanced.
What does it
balanced means that it needs to make sense. So that my team feels correct in work-life balance, that we feel that we're doing something which is relevant again. And also that the guest experience something which is very honest from the gut feel and from the heart. So balanced on the whole line. But next to being balanced, it also needs to be very dynamic. And dynamic is who I am. We call this rugged refined. Rugged and refined means edge and finesse. So it is a mix of refinement with a tough side of it, a rough side. And these elements is who I am. So I
this was a little bit in the Jane as well.
I mean, that's the fundament of what we do.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, you know, shaping it even more. It's going to be more clear. It's going to be more identified. It's going to be more noticeable. You will find a place of harmony, quality, finesse, but with a very casual atmosphere. Like almost too loose. Really well, judged.
It's more a casual thing you want to...
No, it's going to be a high-end place.
A high-end place. So
high-end place, yeah.
Okay, so...
28 seats, super high-end food.
Okay.
But no so stiffness at all. Just really, really cool, young energy, a liveliness, a lot of design, a lot of art, you know, a lot of visual attraction points. And just us, really comfortable to the guests.
But in your ideal world, you would maintain the 2 stars?
So currently we don't have any stars, which is also...
I mean, maintain, like I just say... You know,
I mean, it's also nice to not have stars again, you know, like or not anymore. I hope we're going to re-enter with 2. I would feel shitty if it just would be 1.
This is very refreshing to hear something because a lot of chefs don't say it loud.
What?
Yeah, if something like this, you would say, yeah, it would be shitty to feel to have just 1. A lot of chefs say, yeah, no, it's fine. You know, stars are always overrated. It's
actually
refreshing to her. It's quite honest.
It's not overrated. I think that, you know, we got these few accolades which really matter and... Like I'm super confident that institutes like a Michelin are super motivating for restaurateurs and chefs, and are also the kind of the starting goals for young people to be ambitious to go for this sector. You know, so like aiming for stars is something very healthy. I think you just have to make sure for yourself that if you don't succeed or it's not happening, that you are still satisfied as a professional. So it's an extra, it's an extra surplus, cannot be your main drive. So let's say, you know, we start with 2 Michelin stars. I'm aiming for re-entering with 2. And then I would like to also, you know, share a healthy ambition that I would like to see if we're able to reach for 3. Yeah. Because I've been over the last 11 years named often as a candidate.
True.
And I also felt that I was not. Because of the size of the restaurant, because of the inconsistency that volume carries.
It's very rare, a 3-star restaurant with this amount of couverts, what you had in
the tins. It's kind of very rare very to rare. Run these amount of numbers to be super consistent. Because, you know, you work with a team of 52 full-time employees.
Wow.
I mean, nowadays, you know, when we talk Gen Z and everything, it's all a bit of a bullshit, of course. But, you know, nowadays people are more aware and more conscious. So you cannot get 50 people, 50, like 50, you know, like all straight aligned, you know, everybody has their own personality. So it's a constant movement. So it was an impossible task for me to run that size of a restaurant with so many parameters that I could not control or at least shape well. So also the redefinement to the size that we're going to do right now is also kind of the confidence. Okay, you know, if we would push to see if we can carry the level of 3 stars and we would get it, I will feel confident. And in the previous game, I would feel very, very stressed out, you know, like very unhappy because I know we would get a third star. I had it in the beginning when we got two also. Like when we got one star, I felt we were not good enough. We pushed hard. 1 year later, second star. And I was like, shit, you know, I don't think we're two stars. I don't think we really? We have the potential. Yes, we have certain moments we reach two stars, but we have a lot of moments we do not. So that gave me also quite a good amount of stress, to be honest, or let's say insecurity or maybe unsatisfied feeling sometimes. Mm-hmm. I've also shaped an environment right now that I feel that if we would be able to achieve, I would be able to embrace it as in, okay, we can own this, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
Because I think my guests deserve that. The moment you are being accoladed, you need to be able to deliver. And I feel that you need to be able to deliver because that is what your audience deserves. And that is my task as a chef and professional. So.
And at the beginning, you said that also on the sustainability factor, there was not, it was not anymore where you wanted it to have at the Jane. Here at the new concept, you think that you're fulfilling your own sustainability criteria, social sustainability, you know, in all its...
I don't think fulfilling. I think it allows me the tools to be better,
okay,
to improve. And yeah. For me, a restaurant is never complete, you know, it's never done. I think you need to be able to make your checklist, like, you know, these things we want to improve, these things we want to, you know, settle better, organize better, improve, structure, restructure, reorganize, whatever. And I feel that with the new, let's say, direction that we're going, I'm able to create a better place over time.
You can. You have a basis where you can step by step.
New fundament, but also a new path to evolve. So yeah, more sustainability. And I don't want to only praise the sustainability when it comes to the food, you know, or like the footprint. But sustainability also means that, like I said, supply chain is correct. I mean, your team feels well. That my wife feels happy in the lifestyle that we do, that my kids feel that I'm not this typical, never at home kind of a person, you know, that I'm also still their daddy. And and that it's also a place where we are allowed to improve and to grow, that people do not expect day one to be extremely perfect, you know, to still have space to grow, because that's the most exciting part.
That's the problem sometimes with newly opened restaurants, especially from chefs who have a good reputation and make something new. So then you have all the important journalists being there in the first 4 days.
I mean, the first 12 hours. Yeah, that's
what in the first 12 hours.
Want to be there before?
I don't know. I also talked to a chef in Vienna, and he told me, guys, why can't you just not wait for like, wait just 1 month?
True.
I understand. I can understand it.
I mean, I think that journalists and critics can expect more from me because I'm already in this game quite a bit. I find it harder for young people. I mean, nowadays, if young people open, the journalists will write about their previous, you know, like jobs or locations they've worked at. So the moment you have worked in multiple 3 or 2 stars, they expect you to deliver a 2-star experience as a young professional. And what I think, what we do wrong with this, there's also a bit of the social media push behind it too, is that we do not allow young people anymore to grow and to evolve. Because you need to figure, I mean, you can prep yourself as good as you want. You can do internships. You can do work, professional experiences. But still, you need to identify yourself. You need to figure out who am I when it comes to your palate, to your style, and to your vision. That is something you cannot design. You know, it needs to flourish. It needs to evolve. It needs to grow. We need to allow people to grow. And I'm very happy that I'm still not at my peak point, because that also means that currently I'm 41. I only feel now I'm getting to a certain point that I feel confident. And the confidence is more that I'm not trying to be somebody who I'm not, you know, like I'm confident. Okay, this is who I am. This is my vision on food. This is what I want to reflect. And that's a kind of a confidence that gives me the right parameters to know that's the route. And I'm not thinking about turning left or right anymore. You know, I'm just thinking about that's my direction. And that's a very good feeling, or very nice feeling to have, because that also takes away the noise. You know what I mean? yeah, yeah, voice absolutely. Of sometimes, yeah, yeah, absolutely. I would love to be that to type be of a chef, or yeah. I would love to cook a little bit more his style, or I would love to be a little bit more detailed like this chef, or, you know, the taking out the noise means focus. And I'm happy that I found this kind of a focus. But it took me what, 20 years to kind of get there?
It sounds pretty easy to just push out the noise and find your own path. But I think it's actually one of the toughest things in every artistic job or occupation, right? Yeah. Because, I mean, you're doing other creative things as well.
Yeah.
You're implied in design, in visual stuff, in music,
yeah,
DJing. Also, you know a lot of other artists, right?
Yeah, true.
And I think one of the most difficult thing everybody is struggling is find their own path. In gastronomy, it's pretty all the more difficult because you see every day, you're scrolling, you see this and that and this. And, yeah.
So I just explained, like, you know, I've been listening to a whole bunch of podcasts and like Tai Chi and meditation and listening to monks and... And the one thing I really took out is to really be more in the moment itself and not only focusing on everything I want to achieve or I feel that we need to achieve, but to be very appreciative to the journey. You know, like the journey itself starts to count and I start to really appreciate day by day. And that doesn't mean I lost a motivation or I lost my drive. You know, I'm still very much focused on improving and doing better, but there is no rush anymore. I mean, it's more like, okay, you know, we're going to take it one step at a time, and I want to be happy when I do like a full work week that at least 80% was satisfying and 20% maybe not so much or maybe not enough, but the majority needs to feel right. And if I would only focus on the finish line, I would be too nervous or too stressed or too tense to kind of also appreciate the moment itself.
Yeah.
That was an important message that I took out, and not just as a professional, but also try to incorporate this in my life as a human being. So,
also a very important message, I think, for our listeners and our viewers. Thank you so much, Nick, for sharing this very personal views as well. And I just have the famous last question.
All right.
In 10 years from now, where do you see you?
Ooh.
It's also quite a nice question, especially in this moment where you are right?
You want to keep it light or you want to keep it deep? I mean, if it would say loud, it would...
I'm always for deep, but it's your choice.
If it would be light, it would be somewhere... I started kite surfing this summer, so it would be somewhere hanging on a kite.
Ah, nice. So what you're doing kite surfing, snowboarding...
Wakeboarding. Yeah. Boxing, biking, running.
Yoga.
Everything that gives me a bit of adrenaline.
Yes.
I do. I love free diving, spear fishing. No. To be honest, if I can be open in 10 years, still in my new DJing, surrounded by a great team, having achieved that balanced restaurant that I'm aiming for, have a great connection with my kids and my loving wife, and kind of just everything that I currently have.
Mm-hmm.
Still there. Evolved, different, but what I really want to say is I'm already a very happy guy. So I think that is the message. Beautiful.
Thank you so much, Tim.
Pleasure talking
Nick,
to you.
Sorry. Yeah. Thank you so much, Nick.
My pleasure.
Und wir hören und sehen uns bei der nächsten Rolling Pin Podcast Folge. Alles Gute.